It's spreading, and it's gonna infect us all. We need to do something before it takes out all the good-looking women and leaves us with only each other. Call out the National Guard or the CBC or something.
Bubba scowled at him. The CBC? Is that one of those new anime people?
Nick rolled his eyes.
No, it's that place where they talk about diseases and quarantine people when they're contagious.
Bubba, Nick means the CDC in Atlanta.
Bubba made a sound of disgust that originated in the back of his throat. Mark, who was barely a head taller than Nick, was still dressed in his zombie-hunting ghillie suit. Fluffs of Spanish moss jutted out from all the places where he'd tucked it in his clothes so that he'd blend in with the bayou. His face was streaked with camouflage paint, and he wore yellow-colored contact lenses that had a rim of red around them. Zombie eyes, also for camouflage. But that wasn't the worst of it. As he stopped next to Nick, there was an odor so foul it took his breath. Nick covered his nose to keep from being sick over it.
What is that smell?
It was like 3-day-old cat vomit mixed with rotten asparagus. Mark scowled at him as if he was crazy for even asking.
Duck urine? It keeps the zombies from thinking I'm human.
Nick snorted.
Yeah, well, it keeps me from thinking you're sane.
Give it up, Mark. The boy don't know nothing about surviving. He actually kept me from shooting zombies who were in the store trying to eat him.
Mark cuffed Nick on the back of his head.
Are you out of your mind, kid? Ow!
Nick rubbed the back of his head where they kept slapping him. If they didn't stop, he was going to get brain damage.
And no, I was keeping Bubba from committing a felony. No offense, but he's a zombie, Your Honor. Don't electrocute me. Isn't a viable excuse. Believe me, I know. My dad's doing 3 life sentences because he killed, and I quote, a crap load of demons who were trying to kill me. And if I hadn't killed them, Your Honor, they'd have taken over the city and enslaved all you petty and pathetic humans.
The court's not real understanding of that reasoning. They wouldn't even let my dad plead insanity because of it. So trust me, zombies needed killing isn't a legit defense.
Mark shook his head in supreme annoyance.
Well, it ought to be. Hey, Bubba, you in here or you dead?
Nick cringed as he heard the newcomers. Bubba handed the gun to Mark and whispered to the two of them.
Is Officer Davis, don't say anything.
Clearing his throat, he ambled toward the counter up front as if nothing had happened. Nick hid the gun behind a curtain, amazed by how well Bubba could act. He slid his gaze to Mark, who was finally peeling off his camo suit. 7 years older than Nick, he had shaggy light brown hair and bright green eyes. His features leaned toward pretty, except for his square jawline. He also had 3 days' growth of beard on his face, which made him look a lot older. But it was his build that Nick envied. No matter how much he worked out, he just couldn't get the kind of muscle definition that Mark had without even trying. It was so unfair.
Can I see your bite wound?
Mark asked.
Could you bathe first?
Mark glared at him. Sighing, Nick held his arm out so that Mark could inspect it. He let out a low whistle as he touched the vicious bite, which was still throbbing.
Yeah, we might want to disinfect this.
Nick cringed.
It's gonna turn me into a zombie, isn't it?
I don't know about that, but the human mouth is the germiest part of the body. You might get parvo or rabies or something.
Nick scowled at that unexpected response. Isn't parvo a dog disease?
Yeah, but who knows what's happening in your school, kid. Could be Loop Guru on the loose, and that, my friend, is definitely contagious.
Nick jerked his arm back.
I'm not gonna turn into a werewolf, Mark.
Go ahead and mock, but I'm telling you, I've seen them down in the bayou. Many a night. A whole pack of them that shifted into humans. Walking in daylight, they could be right next to you, and you wouldn't know it.
It took all of Nick's self-control not to belittle him for that load of horse manure. He wasn't sure what was more pathetic, the fact that Mark was comfortable enough with him to talk about it, or that his friend actually believed it. Deciding on the latter, he let Mark lead him to the bathroom, where Bubba kept alcohol and peroxide. As Mark cleaned and wrapped the bite, Nick ground his teeth against the pain of the stinging alcohol.
Man, I look like a total goo with both arms wrapped.
No, man, they're war wounds. Chicks dig scars. Means you're a manly man able to protect them.
Nick lifted one disbelieving eyebrow. Then why don't you and Bubba have girlfriends?
I don't want the drama of it. After the last one burnt up all my clothes with my Jack Daniel's Black Label collection and tried to decapitate me with my CDs, I decided I'd take a hiatus for a bit. As for Bubba, I better not talk about that. Let's just say, I don't think he wants to go through that again.
Nick wanted more clarification. Go through what?
That ain't none of your business,
Bubba said as he joined them. He narrowed his gaze on Mark.
You should learn to be quiet sometimes.
Yeah, well, I always say that marriage is fine for others, but remember that it only leads to one thing.
Nick grinned. Lots of naked party time?
Nah, kid. Alimony.
Mark stepped back to put away the alcohol.
Wow, they were both rays of sunshine that broke through the darkest cloud.
In hell.
Nick turned to Bubba. So what did the police say?
That if any more of my neighbors report a gunshot over here, they'd yank my business license and throw me under the jail for it. Nosy bitty bodies.
Nick scowled. Isn't that busy bodies?
Bubba gave him a droll stare.
Have you seen Ms. Thomas next door? That's the ugliest witch on the planet. I swear she's a Gorgon.
What? Nick asked with a frown.
Bubba snorted at him.
Get your head out of comic books and read some Greek mythology. Gorgons. Women who were so ugly just looking at one could turn a man into stone.
Ah. In my high school, that'd be my English teacher, Ms. Richard. Bubba didn't say anything as he started picking up glass from the shattered counter.
So why were the zombies here anyway?
They said they were after... Nick's voice faded off as he put everything together.
Modug freaking out.
Nerd boy. Holy dog snot. He looked up at Bubba. Modug Keaton. You know him?
Geeky little kid who reminds me a lot of Mark.
Hey,
Mark said indignantly. Bubba ignored him.
What about it?
He said it was imperative that he talk to you. He just left when the jocks came in looking for him.
Mark shot a glance to Bubba.
You think he has something to do with this?
Nick dug the number out of his pocket. Yeah, I don't know, but I'm beginning to think that's a real good start. And the more he thought about it, the more sure he was. Modug had to be behind this. Nothing else made sense. And if he was, and Nick turned into a zombie because of him, brains were going to be spilled. Lots of them, and Modug was the first person on his list. Not that he had a list, because that would get him thrown out of school and probably jailed, but should said hypothetical list exist, not saying that it did currently or would in the future, Modug was definitely target number one.
Chapter 6. They tried for several hours to reach Modug, but he wouldn't answer the number he'd left.
Flippin' figures. Nick watched as Mark hung up the phone again before he spoke.
I'm telling you, Fingerman, he was eaten by the jocks. They could smell him from the few minutes he was here, and they were hell-bent to get him. I think they ran him down and at a banquet.
Mark smirked.
Zombies have dull senses, Nick. They're not bloodhounds or werewolves. You don't move, and they'll walk right past you, never seeing you. Believe me, on the scale of scary monsters, they rank way down the crap in my pants because they're after me list. I'll take a zombie over a vampire or werewolf any day.
What about the duck urine, then? Nick reminded him.
I was sweating in a swamp, and the wind carried my scent. That's different.
Nick started to argue the point, but really, wasn't whether or not a zombie could smell you the most ludicrous thing on the planet to fight about? Werewolves weren't real, and he still wasn't completely sold on the whole zombie thing either. Something was up with the jocks, no doubt, but he didn't believe in the supernatural. He never had. It was bunk made up by moms to scare kids and Hollywood to make a profit. The true monsters in this world, the people like his dad, were real and human through and through. which was what made them so dangerous. You didn't see him coming until it was too late.
Bubba, who'd been ignoring them, stood up from his stool to tower over both of them. He pointed to the clock over the door.
It's 4 o'clock, guys. I'm going up to watch Oprah. Unless the shop catches fire or we're under massive zombie invasion, I don't exist for the next hour.
He took a step, then paused.
On second thought, don't even bother me if it's zombies. I'll deal with them later. Today's a special episode on how to make peace with people who piss you off, and I definitely need to find my zen.
Mark snorted. Your zen's shooting stuff, Bubba. Embrace your inner violence.
Fine, then. My inner violence says I'll cut your throat if you bother me until Oprah ends, so sod off.
Nick laughed until the time sank in.
Aw, man, I gotta run.
Mark furrowed his brow.
For what?
My new boss was supposed to pick me up after school.
Which was 35 minutes ago, and he'd forgotten all about it.
Ah, jeez. Hope I'm not fired my first day.
Bubba hesitated.
Want me to write you an excuse?
Nick shook his head. Nah, I better run. See you guys later. Let me know when you find Modug. Grabbing his backpack from the floor, he hit the door at full speed. Luckily, he was used to running for streetcars, and his school was only 5 blocks away, something he made in record time. There was still police tape cordoning off the front yard of the school, and a couple of officers there to enforce it. They watched him closely, as if expecting him to start biting on them or something. Ignoring them, Nick slowed as he studied the cars that were lined up on the opposite side of the street. Only one had someone in it, and it wasn't Kirian.
I am so fired. Crap. My mom will kill me.
More than that, he'd probably have to pay the hospital bill, which, at last check, had already added up to more than his first 2 years of college tuition combined, out of his own pocket. Why couldn't Alan have shot him in the head and ended it all?
I was cursed from birth. Couldn't he ever catch a break with anything?
Disgusted, he hung his head and started back toward Bubba's store.
Nick Gaucher?
He turned at the unfamiliar voice to find the man he'd seen sitting in the black BMW, now stepping out of it. He was probably mid to late 30s, with dark blonde hair and extremely clean cut. In other words, he stank of serious money. He reminded Nick of someone, but he couldn't quite place it.
I don't know you.
The man smiled.
No, you don't. My son, Kyle Poitier. Gah, he said that name like a true snotty blue blood. Poitier.
Is one of your classmates. Kirian asked me to pick you up after school and take you to his house, so here I am.
Yeah, right. How do I know any of that is true?
Other than the fact that he did look like Kyle, which was why he'd seemed familiar. That still didn't make him safe or friendly.
You don't trust me, Mr. Poitier asked.
I don't trust nobody. My mama ain't raised no fools. I don't get in cars with people I don't know. Ever. You could be a pervert or psycho or something.
No offense.
Mr. Poitier laughed. None taken. Tell you what.
He pulled out his wallet.
I'm gonna give you $50 for a taxi and write down Kirian's address. I'll see you at his house.
Nick hesitated. The offer did nothing to alleviate his suspicions.
How do I know you're sending me to his house and not someone else's? For all I know, that's the address where you take all your victims.
God, I hope my son's as streetwise as you are.
He pulled out a cell phone and dialed a number. After a few seconds, he spoke.
Hey, Kirian, sorry to bother you. I'm here with the kid, but he won't get in the car with me. He's even more suspicious than you told me he'd be.
He held the phone out to Nick. Nick narrowed his eyes on the man as he placed the phone to his ear.
Yeah?
Hi, Nick. Phil won't hurt you. Get in the car and you'll be over here in a few minutes.
Uh-uh.
Nick still wasn't sold. The voice was familiar, but...
How do I know you're Mr. Hunter?
Because I'm the only person besides you who knows you were helping your friends mug those tourists when you changed your mind and saved them.
Nick's stomach hit the ground at those words. He hadn't breathed a word of that to a single soul, not even his priests. That was a secret that was supposed to be between him and God and no one else.
How did you know that?
I was there longer than you suspected, and I saw everything. Now get in the car.
Nick hung up the phone and handed it back to Mr. Poitier.
Okay, I believe you.
He held the money out to him, too. Phil refused to take it.
Keep it.
Nick shook his head. I really can't take this.
Yes, you can. Just consider it a reward for being a smart kid.
Unused to people not being angry at him, Nick was still reluctant to accept the money.
You're not mad at me?
For protecting yourself? Not at all.
I tell Kyle all the time to behave just like you did.
It does me proud to see a kid with a brain.
Now get in. Nick hesitated. He wasn't used to people like Phil not looking down on him. It felt really weird. He got into the car and buckled himself in. Phil pulled away from the curb, then turned his radio down so that he could talk.
I should have brought Kyle with me to ease your mind.
It wouldn't have eased it. My mom says pervs use other kids to lure Vicks, too.
Not to mention Kyle didn't exactly travel in Nick's circle of friends. He was a stuck-up snot who annoyed him almost as much as Stone did. That being said, his father seemed to be decent enough, in spite of his perfect speech. Made him wonder where Kyle got it from. They didn't say anything else as Phil navigated traffic. It didn't take them long to reach Kirian's house that was down in the Garden District. This was the coveted highbrow area where antebellum mansions went on row after row like hulking beasts from a bygone era of gentility and manners that most people nowadays lacked. Nick and his mom would sometimes come walking down this way, mostly because his mom's favorite author lived here, and she wanted to catch a glimpse of her whenever she could. His jaw went slack as they pulled up to a gate that opened into what had to be the biggest house he'd ever seen. It was a huge, Grecian-style home with Dorian columns supporting what seemed to be a never-ending porch, top and bottom. Phil pulled around the circular drive until he got to the front steps.
We're here.
But he didn't turn off the engine. Nick frowned. Aren't you staying?
My orders were to deliver you to the door. Mission accomplished.
Weird, but okay. Nick had no idea why he was so intimidated, but something about the house seemed eerie and forbidding. It wasn't like he hadn't known Kirian had money, but knowing something and seeing such obvious proof were two different things. What in the world would it be like to have this kind of wealth? For that matter, he couldn't even imagine not having to count pennies to eat at McDonald's. Gathering his courage, he got out of the car, grabbed his backpack, and headed up the stairs to the front door. Made of mahogany and etched glass that reminded him of cut crystal goblets, it looked like something out of a movie. He lifted his hand to ring the bell, but the door opened to show him a tiny Hispanic woman who eyed him like a warden greeting a new inmate. Dressed in a coral shirt and jeans, she had her dark hair pulled back into a tight bun.
Neek?
It sounded more like Neek, which was a much prettier version than the normal drawl he was used to.
Yes, ma'am.
She stepped back to let him enter.
Mr. Kirian is waiting for you upstairs in his office.
She reached for his backpack. Nick shied away from her.
You no trust me?
Her tone was offended.
No disrespect meant to you, ma'am, but I don't even know your name.
Her face went completely stoic.
I am Rosa, and I keep Mr. Kirian's house for him. Now, would you like me to put your bag away while you're here?
He felt foolish for not letting her have it. It just wasn't in him to let anyone take anything from him without a fight, no matter how worthless it was. It was the same reason he hadn't wanted Brynna touching it earlier.
I guess...
He shrugged it off. She oomphed as he surrendered the full weight of it.
Goodness, you're much stronger than you appear. How can you carry this without being hunchback?
Nick shrugged.
It's what I have to have for school.
She gestured at the mahogany staircase that curved up to the second floor.
Third door on the right. No need to knock. He will hear you coming.
Yeah, okay, that was creepy too.
Nick headed up, taking his time to scan every inch of the impeccable palace. The banister had what he was pretty sure were gold medallions in the center of the black iron railing, and the polished floors were some kind of something really expensive, like marble or tile or whatever. Part of him wanted to run back to the street.
I so don't belong here.
He felt like a fraud or unworthy, until he realized what really made him so uncomfortable. There was no daylight. Every window in the house was covered with shutters and heavy drapes, every single one. Not so much as a tendril of sunlight came in. How weird was that? His mother was always yelling at him for burning electricity in the daytime.
Stop shaming the daylight, boy. Turn out the lights. Have you any idea how much money you're wasting?
Pushing it out of his mind, he reached the door Rosa had mentioned and opened it. Kirian sat in front of a computer with a headset covering one ear.
Talon, I hear what you're saying. I'm just not listening to it. Look, the kid's here. I'll talk to you later.
He hung up the phone and pulled the headset off before placing it on his desk.
Talon?
Nick asked. Kirian smiled without showing his teeth. Another peculiar habit Nick had noticed about him, even back when he'd come to the hospital.
A friend I'm sure you'll eventually meet.
He inclined his head toward Nick's sling.
How are you feeling?
Cranky. Pain meds wore off, and it hurts like a mother.
Kirian ignored his curt tone and semi-profanity.
Heard you had some problems at your school today.
I didn't have no problems at school, 'cause they wouldn't let me on campus. Makes it a great day if you ask me.
Kirian rolled his eyes, but didn't comment on Nick's irritable tone.
Have you called your mom?
No, why?
Don't you think she might have heard about the attacks at school and been worried?
I don't see how.
Nick, she's your mother. She's going to be worried. Honestly, you have no idea how much your parents love you until something happens to you. Then it's too late.
There was a note in Kirian's voice that Nick couldn't quite define. Something like buried pain from a bitter memory that still bothered him. But that didn't matter. Nick wasn't being stupid or disrespectful.
I know she'd be worried if she knew about it, but I know she hasn't heard anything. We don't have TV or anything. Heck, we don't even have a phone. You have to call Menyara and she takes messages to us.
The shock on Kirian's face set his temper on fire.
We don't need your pity, Nick growled. We get along just fine without it, and them other things, too. You don't need electronic crap to live. You know, people live for thousands of years without it. There's a big difference between stuff you want and stuff you need.
Kirian held his hands up in surrender.
Settle down, Nick. I don't feel sorry for you. I didn't have any of that when I was a kid either, and believe me, I know how people used to live.
Nick looked around the expensive furnishings that belied those words. It was hard to imagine Kirian having ever done without anything.
You've come a long way, huh?
In some ways.
And in others?
Kirian shrugged.
Let me put it to you this way. Money doesn't solve your problem. It just brings new ones to your door.
Meaning what?
Meaning I hope you never know the betrayals I've had. My father once told me that no friend would ever be loyal to me because of what I had and who I was.
Nick's dad had told him basically the same thing. Trust no one at his back, because all people did was betray, and that they usually laughed while they did it. But he didn't want to be so jaded.
Was he right?
Absolutely not. There was one friend I had who was loyal. But when he died, it left me with others who more than proved my father a wise man. I know it's hard to listen at your age. The gods know I never did, but...
The gods?
Kirian chuckled, again without showing his teeth.
You'll have to forgive me. I'm a little eccentric sometimes.
Is that why all the windows are closed?
Kirian arched a brow.
You're observant. Impressive. Most people don't catch that.
Yeah, well, a few things escape me. I tend to watch silently from the shadows.
You'll learn a lot.
lot more that way.
I'll keep that in mind, then.
Kieran stepped from around his desk and handed him the phone.
Go ahead and send a message to your mom. In the event she's heard about your school, I don't want her to worry.
Nick screwed up his face. Boy, with that kind of uber consideration, your parents must really love you. Mr. Goody Two-Shoes. Kieran hesitated before he responded.
My parents died. A long time ago. And you know the sad thing? I still miss them. Every day. I spent my entire youth fighting with my dad over every little thing, and damned if I wouldn't sell my soul to see him one more time and tell him I was sorry for the last words I said to him. Words I can never take back, that should have never been said. So call your mom. No matter what kind of relationship you have with your parents, I swear to you, you'll miss them when they're gone.
Nick wasn't so sure about that. He barely knew his dad. His mother was another subject, though. He would never intentionally hurt her. Dialing Aunt Minnie's number, he put the phone to his ear.
Hello?
Minnie's Creole accent was thicker than normal. Hey, Aunt Min, it's Nick. Can you...
Boy, where you been? Your poor mama done sick with worry over you. She's sitting right here, right now, all tore up and crying. She ain't slept or had a minute's peace since this morning when she heard about your school. Shame on you for worrying her like this. We went to the school and everything looking for you and couldn't find a trace of you anywhere. No one would tell her anything, and there you sit, all nice and fine. Shame on you, boy.
Nick felt like the lowest form of dog spittle as his mom took the phone. It wasn't like Min Yara to fuss at him for anything. She usually left it to his mom to do. That, more than anything, told him how worried his mom was.
Baby boo?
Those words wrung his gut. It was his childhood nickname that she seldom used anymore.
You all right?
Yeah, Mom, I'm good. I'm really sorry I didn't call. I just didn't think you'd hear about it.
It's okay, boo. I'm just glad you're all right. It's so good to hear your voice. The police wouldn't tell me nothing about the victims. They said they hadn't notified the family, so I was waiting for them to come to my door and...
She broke off into sobs. Nick cringed until he was sick.
I didn't mean to scare you, Mom.
It's okay. It's all good. You're safe, and that's all that matters to me. Where are you?
He looked at Kieran, who was giving him an I-told-you-so glare.
I'm at Mr. Hunter's now. I was at Bubba's store helping him out this morning since they canceled school. He said he'd pay me double time for it.
But you safe?
Yeah, I'm safe.
Oh, thank God.
Kieran took the phone from his hand.
Mrs. Gaucher, it's Kieran. I wanted to let you know that I'll feed Nick and have him home about 7, if that's all right with you.
He paused to listen to her.
Yes, ma'am. I'll take good care of him and won't let anything happen to him. Promise.
He hung up the phone. Nick scowled at him. Why do you call her ma'am when she's younger than you?
It's a sign of respect.
That he didn't understand, but he was grateful for it. Not many people have shown my mom the respect she deserves. I really appreciate it that you do. Kieran put the phone in his pocket.
I learned a long time ago not to judge people by what they look like, sound like, or by the clothes they wear. Just because a house is nice and shiny out front doesn't mean it's not rotting on the inside. Your mom's a good woman with a good heart, and I'm glad you're mature enough to appreciate that about her.
Nick found a whole new respect for him.
You know, I think I can work for you.
Kieran gave him a tight-lipped smile.
Glad to hear it. Now, shall I show you around?
He liked the formal way Kieran spoke sometimes. He went back and forth from typical slang to some old-world expressions that were tinged with an accent Nick couldn't place.
You shall indeed.
Kieran rubbed his eyes at Nick's bad English accent.
Your duties here will be light, nothing too strenuous. But if anything aggravates your arm until it heals, don't do it. Last thing you need is to set your therapy back.
Nick followed him to the staircase.
Why are you doing this anyway? You know what I was doing that night, and yet you'd let me in here around all your stuff? Aren't you afraid I'll steal something?
Kieran turned around on the stairs to give him a harsh glare.
There's nothing you can steal from me that I can't replace. Things mean very little to me.
He took a step closer to Nick.
As for why I'm helping you, I believe in you, Nick. You remind me of a kid I knew once. Hard-headed to the point no one could stand him. He wouldn't listen and had a massive chip on his shoulder because he wanted to show the world how tough he was. That he didn't need anyone hand-holding him through it or doing anything for him. Everything had to be learned by his own hand, the hard way.
What happened to him?
He rebelliously joined the army against his father's wishes and met a man who changed his life. For whatever reason, that man had patience. And where others would have justifiably killed the arrogant snot-nose for his attitude, his commanding officer saw potential in him. He changed that kid's life, and I'd like to pay that debt forward with you.
It took Nick a second to realize what exactly he was saying. You're the kid? Kieran inclined his head. And this dude who changed your life? He looked down at the ring on his hand that rested on the shiny banister.
A man named Julian.
Nick shivered at such a god-awful moniker. Isn't Julian a girl's name? One corner of Kieran's mouth twisted into a sardonic smile.
Trust me, Nick. He was the toughest SOB you've ever met on a battlefield. No one ever defeated him in a fight. He made Jackie Chan and Chuck Norris look like posers.
Is that how you learned to fight, like you did when you saved me?
Yes.
Nick had to give him credit. Kieran could definitely handle himself. It was something he'd love to have. Could you teach me some of that?
When your arm's better. For now, I promised your mom I wouldn't tax your strength.
Nick growled, yeah, but...
No buts. Today is only an introduction. I want you to get the lay of the land. Rosa is your direct supervisor. Whatever she says goes. Since I usually work at night, she'll be the one you deal with most when you're here.
He turned around and descended the stairs again. Nick skipped down behind him. So, how many people work for you?
Just Rosa and George, the groundskeeper. And now you.
What about Mr. Poitier?
He's a friend. I have many who do favors for me from time to time.
Nick could respect that. It must be good to be king. A flicker of sadness flashed across Kieran's face before he hid it.
Why don't I show you to your office first?
That announcement stunned Nick. I have an office?
Yes.
Kieran led him to a room off the kitchen that was bigger than Nick's entire condo. Shelves of books lined the walls, and there were two desks and computers in it, along with nice black leather office chairs. It was an impressive layout.
Rosa has the bigger desk. Yours is there.
Nick walked over to it with his jaw slack as he ran his hand across the top of it. Made of rich cherry wood, it was pristine and beautiful, but it was the large monitor on the desk that really made him smile. I have my own computer?
Yes, and you can do homework on it if you need to. It's hooked online, so...
Nick's eyes widened even more. It's online and everything?
Yes. There will be times when I'll need you to get information or order things online for me.
Really?
Really.
Nick didn't know what to say. This was more than he'd ever imagined. When Kieran had offered the job, he'd figured it was walking the dog, cleaning toilets, or something equally as crappy. Not in his wildest dreams had he thought he'd have his own desk or computer. In fact, Rosa had already put his backpack there. It made him feel like an adult with a real desk job. Most of all, it made him feel respectable. Lifting his head high, Nick met Kieran's gaze. So, how much money will I be making?
Since you're only part-time, we'll start you out at $1,000 a week.
Nick about choked on the amount. 1,000 what, lira, yen, rubles? Excuse me?
That's before taxes, of course. And we do have work performance bonuses, so you can increase that if you need more. I believe in rewarding hard work, and...
Nick held his hand up to stop him right there. Go back to make sure I heard what you said. $1,000 a week?
Yes.
$1,000 American a week?
Yes.
Not Monopoly money or anything?
Kieran gave him an irritated glare.
No, Nick. Real hard cash, and you'll have your own credit card, too.
Nick couldn't believe it.
He was still aghast over the amount, never mind the other stuff. And I don't have to do nothing illegal or perverted.
You just have to watch your tone, especially to Rosa.
Well, dang. That made him wonder one thing. How much you paying her if she's full-time?
Kieran laughed.
A lot more than I'm paying you. But it's not enough to put up with your smart mouth, so if you want to keep this job, you'll have to show her respect.
Don't worry, I don't mouth off to women.
But that rule didn't apply to men, or really to anyone who tried to push him around. However, Nick did have one major concern.
How much will you be deducting out of that for her hospital bills?
You keep your grades up, your attitude in check, and show up for work on time for 6 months, and we'll forget about it.
If something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And though he was young, he hadn't been born yesterday.
I don't know about that. My mama says we don't take charity from people. We pay our own way.
Nick,
Kieran's voice was strained.
Look around. I'm not going to miss it. You were headed the wrong way down the street when, for whatever reason, you made a right turn. No one made you do it. You did it by yourself. My goal is to keep you on the right path. And I know that desperate people do desperate things, so this job will help eliminate some of that temptation. You're a good kid, and you deserve a break, which I'm sure life hasn't given you much of.
It was true.
Life had pretty much battered him
and his mom from the moment he'd been born.
Yeah, but that's a lot of money to be paying a kid for doing basically nothing.
You won't be doing nothing. You'll be part of a vital support staff I rely on to do my job. Not to mention, you keep your grades up, and that's nothing compared to what you can make working for me when you're grown.
Still, Nick was skeptical. And I don't have to strip naked.
Oh, God, no. Please, keep your clothes on. Neither Rosa nor I need to go blind. There's a pool in back, though, that you're free to use whenever you like. However, I would encourage you to always have trunks on when you swim. Last thing I need is for my neighbors to start complaining, or George to quit.
Kieran moved over to a small box on Nick's desk and picked it up to hand it to him.
By the way, this is for you.
What is it?
Cell phone, so that I can contact you when I need you.
Nick couldn't believe it.
No friggin' way.
Part of the perks of the job. But don't abuse your minutes or texts. I get a $10,000 bill in 1 month, and I will choke you for it.
Kieran turned it on and handed it to him.
It's already hooked up, and the number for it is on the card. Make sure your mom has it, too. I programmed my number into the auto dial under 2. Just press and hold it.
Nick was overwhelmed by the generosity. He didn't know what to say.
This is just so cool. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Kieran's phone rang. He pulled it out of his pocket and checked the ID before he answered it.
No, I've been up for a while. Why?
He frowned as he listened. Nick played with his own phone.
Man, this thing was really cool.
What do you mean there were more attacks?
That got Nick's attention. Was Kieran talking about the zombie stuff?
Yeah, I'll head out as soon as I can, and I'll keep my eyes peeled for, and I cringe as I say this, things out of the ordinary for us.
He listened a few more minutes before he hung up the phone.
Is something wrong?
Nick asked. Kieran didn't exactly respond to the question.
Is there someone at your school with an axe to grind against football players?
Had the man never gone to high school?
Depends on the football player. Why?
There's been 2 more attacks.
Nick was stunned.
All of them were against football players. How many guys are on the team, anyway?
Nick had to stop and think. I'm not exactly sure, since I don't play anymore. Probably around 50 total, counting JV and V.
JV and V.
He was surprised Kieran didn't know what he was talking about. Junior varsity and varsity.
Why don't you play anymore?
Nick shrugged, as that brought up a memory he didn't like thinking about. He'd been really good at the game, but that hadn't saved him. Got thrown off the first week I made the team for fighting when Stone mocked my shoes. In case you haven't noticed, I'm not exactly a people person. Kieran laughed.
I noticed. Look, I need to make a few more calls. Wander around the downstairs here and get acquainted with it. Don't get too tired. If you need anything to eat or drink, it's in the kitchen. Make yourself at home.
Nick waited until Kieran left before he tried to call Madog again on his new phone. Still no answer. Sighing, he had a bad feeling about this. If what Kieran had said was right, they were down about a quarter of the team. There won't be any state finals for us this year. Stupid concern, given everything going on, but it was the first thing that popped into his mind. What he couldn't figure out was what had started it. Yeah, the jocks picked on certain people, and now that they were becoming zombified, it would only get worse. Now they'd pick on everyone. How could they stop this? Aggravated with the lack of details, he made his way back to the kitchen, where Rosa was making something that smelled unbelievably good. Licking his lips, he went to investigate the pot while Rosa chopped shrimp and onions on the cutting board. What are you making?
Gumbo.
Nick's brow shot up at a dish that he'd eaten most of his life, but this didn't look anything like his mom's.
Wow, so this is what rich man's gumbo looks like.
How do you mean?
It ain't got leftovers in it, and you're putting real meat into it and not bacon bits or roadkill.
Rosa laughed. I'm sure you've never eaten roadkill.
He wouldn't bet on it.
His mom might have denied it, but some of the meat she brought home, he was sure it had been scraped off the street, maybe even plucked out of the tread on tires.
Rosa handed him a spoon. Feel free to sample it.
Really? Thanks.
He dipped the spoon in and stepped away for it to cool before he took a bite.
Man, it tasted even better than it smelled. His stomach growled so loud, it sounded like a monster was about to pop out.
Rosa turned to stare at him.
Sorry, I didn't have lunch.
Bubba hadn't given him permission to take money out of the till for it, and since school lunches came with his tuition, he didn't have money to buy lunch somewhere else.
Rosa's jaw went slack. Why didn't you say something about being hungry?
She pulled him over to the island where two tall stools were set.
You have a seat and I'll make you a sandwich.
I can wait for dinner, I'm used to it.
No one goes hungry in this house, mijo. You just sit there while I make it.
This was seriously creeping him out. No one was ever this nice to him. Had he fallen into the Twilight Zone or something?
I'm gonna die.
It had to be an omen of doom.
Yeah, I'm going to turn into a flesh-rotting, flesh-eating, no-dating-cause-I-stink demon.
His body parts, especially the really important one, were going to fall off, like in that movie he'd seen. And all because he'd helped an old couple escape his friends.
Stop being stupid.
But it wasn't stupid. It was a fact. Something was wrong with the world. It had skittered sideways, and nothing was like it should be. He was doomed. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. He was going to die. And no sooner had that thought finished than he heard something scratching around the back door. There was a low growl and the rattle of a pretty large creature. Vicious and guttural, the sound reminded him of a dog after prey. It must be a Rottweiler or something. He frowned at Rosa, who'd frozen to stare at the door, too.
What kind of dog does Kieran have?
She shook her head.
No dog.
Then what? His words ended as the back door flew open and two members of his team rushed in to tackle him. Chapter 7. In a move he hadn't used since he was a running back, Nick stepped to the left, turned sharp, and sidestepped them, leaving them to slam into the wall. He grabbed Rosa and pushed her towards safety as he looked around for a weapon.
Rosa grabbed the cleaver in her right hand before he could. His jaw went slack as she took the carving knife into her left and held the two of them like a pro as she faced their intruders. Nick was aghast.
Rosa?
Stand back, Nick. I wasn't always a housekeeper, and any hijo de puta dumb enough to come in here to attack us deserves to die on the floor, butchered like a pig.
The zombies charged. Rosa caught the first one with a slash to his arm. He didn't so much as grunt. Instead, he shoved her back and went for Nick, who grabbed one of the pans from the stove. So much for dinner. He slung the piping hot food into the football player's face. This time, the jock zombie screamed and stumbled back. Nick whacked him with the pan, then turned to help Rosa battle the other one. He barely reached them before the one he'd bashed grabbed him from behind. Zombie number one locked a hold on him that was like steel. Nick let out a snarl as his injured shoulder was jostled.
No, you didn't!
Headbutting the zombie, he broke free. 2 seconds later, something so bright it blinded him ripped through the kitchen. Nick shielded his eyes as he heard the zombies screaming in agony. When he lowered his hand and could finally see again, he staggered back in shock. The zombies were gone, and in their place was what had to be the tallest man he'd ever seen. His mouth fell open in stone-cold shock.
Are you all right, Rosa?
The man asked in flawless Spanish.
Sí, Acheron. Gracias.
The door behind Acheron slammed shut without anyone or anything touching it. Acheron moved toward him with the deadly gait of a ferocious predator. With long black hair streaked with green, he wore a pair of opaque sunglasses that kept Nick from seeing his eyes. Dressed all in black, with a glow-in-the-dark vampire skull on his t-shirt, he had a black backpack slung over one shoulder. A backpack that had an anarchy symbol painted on it.
Nice meeting you, Nick.
He tensed at Acheron's strange, lilting accent. He'd never heard anything like it in his life.
How do you know my name?
I know lots of things.
Yeah.
And that thought seriously creeped him out. Was the dude a stalker? Nick looked around the room. There was no trace left of their attackers.
What happened to the jocks?
My demon ate them.
Acheron said that with such a deadpan tone that Nick could almost believe him.
Right.
Nick nodded his head in an act of brazen sarcasm. And I suppose the big bad wolf will be coming in right behind you to finish up. Or is it the gingerbread man I need to fear? Acheron gave him a lopsided grin.
Gideon was right. You are a smart...
He glanced at Rosa before he amended what he'd started to say.
Alec.
He pulled his cell phone out, which looked freakishly tiny in his huge hand, and called someone. Nick frowned at Rosa, who'd gone over to the sink to wash the blood from her cleaver and knife like nothing out of the ordinary had happened. Why was he suddenly hearing the Addams Family song playing in his head? What kind of weird crack house lunacy was this?
Am I the only one weirded out by what just went down? You two were acting too normal about it all. I mean, this is definitely not your typical day.
Acheron snorted.
Depends on the neighborhood.
He paused to talk into the phone.
Hey, Kyrian, you might want to finish that shower and get down here. Your home was just invaded by zombies while Rosa and your boy fought them off. Just FYI.
Well, that explained why Kyrian hadn't heard the commotion and come down to investigate it. Hanging up the phone, Acheron walked over to Rosa and whispered in Spanish. Nick wasn't sure how he understood, since he personally didn't speak Spanish, but he did.
Forget everything that happened. The food spilled on the floor by accident, and nothing out of the ordinary took place. No attack, just another day.
He looked at Nick, who took a step back in severe trepidation of what this stranger was going to do to him. When Acheron lifted his hand, Nick bolted for the front of the house. Get out of here, now.
That was a crazy, demonic-sounding voice in his head, but he didn't question it. He just ran like mad. Rounding the staircase, he skidded to a halt as Acheron appeared directly in front of him out of thin air. Only this time, Nick didn't see Acheron as a young man. He saw someone with fangs, mottled blue skin, black lips, and horns. The image was there in a flash and then gone, like a freaked out hallucination. What had been in that gumbo? It's supernatural. I don't believe in that. Yet how could he deny what he was seeing? This wasn't normal. This wasn't chemical-induced bioweapon zombies. There was no logical way for Acheron to have gotten in front of him and just appeared like that. Just like the door slamming shut, it was impossible. Utterly impossible. No longer sure what he could believe, Nick swallowed. What are you? Acheron scowled.
Completely perplexed. You remember everything that happened.
It was a statement of fact and not a question, as if Acheron was inside his head. Yeah, duh. Not like you're gonna forget the killer zombie stalkers and psyched out kitchen staff. What kind of freak show is this? Acheron gave an evil laugh.
You have no idea, Nick. But my question is, why are the zombies after you?
Oh, heck no, bud. The question is, why you got horns on your head and black lips? Acheron's smile faded.
What?
I saw you a minute ago when you freak flashed in here. You had horns and blue skin. What are you? Acheron returned that question with one of his own.
What funky vegetables you've been eating? Meth is death, and inhalants can kill you, kid. You should stay away from them before they destroy your last three brain cells.
Yeah, right. I'm stone cold, and you? You're not human. I know you're not human. That irritating grin returned to Acheron's face.
Very few people are.
Ha ha, I saw you, man. What you did to the zombies when you arrived and with Rosa? I know you're not human. Are you gonna kill me because I know? Acheron paused as he considered his options. Nick Gaucher was a lot more than he seemed. At 14, Nick's mind should have been easily wiped by his powers, like Rosa's had been. Not that Acheron liked to use those powers. As a rule, he seldom used them. But there were times when circumstances demanded it. Killer zombies exploding in a kitchen happened to be one of them. And it wasn't until someone was older that they developed the ability to block that particular talent of his. And even then, only the stoutest of wills could stand against his powers. Come to think of it, no mortal human being had ever stood against his powers. Only gods and a handful of demons could fight or circumvent him against his will. More than that, somehow, some way, Nick had glimpsed his true god form. How?
Kill him and be done with it.
That was probably the most logical thing to do, but Kyrian, for whatever misguided reasons, had his heart set on saving the kid. Closing his eyes, Acheron used his powers to see into the future, to what would happen if he killed Nick. Nothing was there. Just a vacuous space of nothingness. Crap. 2 weeks ago, when Nick had been injured, he'd seen the kid's entire life from start to finish, as clear as a summer sky. Now, he couldn't even glimpse what Nick had in his pocket.
This is so not good.
Because that meant only one thing. This kid was going to significantly impact his life somehow, and the fates had blinded Acheron to him to prevent him from interfering with Nick's choices.
I hate it when this happens.
It was why he tried to never let anyone near him, why he had no real friends other than his demon companion. This little bugger in front of him was destined to alter his future. No wonder he couldn't use his powers against him. Sighing, Acheron opened his eyes. There was no need to fight destiny. He'd learned centuries ago just how useless it was to try.
Might as well embrace the inevitable and introduce myself.
Because any time someone had tried to alter his future, it had only made things worse.
I'm Acheron Parthenopaeus.
Nick snorted. Dang, and I thought my name sucked. Your parents must have really hated your guts.
If he only knew.
Call me Ash. It's easier and takes a lot less time.
Nick held his good hand out to him. Nick Gaucher. Now, what are you again?
He's the best friend you'll ever make or your last enemy.
Nick looked up to see Kyrian coming down the stairs.
Oh, I get it, he said sarcastically. 'Cause he'll kill me if I take him off. Ha ha ha.
Kyrian rolled his eyes. Acheron let out a long, suffering breath.
I'm not saying a word, General. I told you the kid was going to be more trouble than he's worth. So far, I'm right.
Nick took a step closer to Acheron and said in a low tone, Does Kyrian know about, you know, your particular weirdness?
He does indeed. Rosa, not so much. So let's keep that one on the down low around her.
Gotcha. Kyrian paused beside Acheron.
I take it Nick saw something unusual.
Not too unusual, Nick said, if you live in a friggin' video game. Acheron shook his head.
He handled it well for the most part.
Nick scoffed. Ash is omitting the part where I freaked out and ran like a girl. Did you know your housekeeper can handle a knife like a street fighter and has no qualms about hacking people up with it?
Well, that was a random switch in topic,
Acheron said to Kyrian. Kyrian laughed.
Yes, Nick. I know all about her knife-wielding talents. That's why I hired her. And if I were you, I'd keep that in mind, should you ever feel the need to lip off to her. She doesn't take it well.
Don't worry, that desire effectively quelled. Nick put his hand in his pocket as he digested everything that had happened over the last few minutes. So, you have a psychotic housekeeper with serious ninja knife skills, and Acheron would be what to you?
There was a sudden awkwardness between them,
so thick it permeated the air around them. Ah, Nick said, as he understood why they weren't explaining it. As the old saying went, opposites attract. You two are special friends.
Kyrian frowned. How do you mean?
Acheron passed a peeved look to Kyrian.
He thinks we're a couple.
Kyrian took a step away from Acheron. No, 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 definitely not. Not that Acheron is not an attractive man. Not that I've ever really noticed whether or not he's attractive, but male is not my type. Nick looked back and forth between them. On the surface, the two of them had nothing in common other than that they were both badasses. Then, how do you two know each other? 'Cause aside from the money thing, you seem really normal, and Ash, really not. Acheron cocked a brow.
Are you telling me that you have no oddball friends?
Not like you. Mine just do weird things like eat Jell-O through straws and get thrown out of Kroger for eating samples. They're nowhere near as weird as you. Acheron tisked.
I would disagree. I don't drown myself in eau de duck urine or look for werewolves in the swamp, unlike some people you know.
Yeah, okay, so Bubba and Mark walk off the beaten path into planet I don't know, but they don't do that creepy mind-wipe stuff or slam doors without touching them.
How do you know the wind didn't catch it?
Acheron asked. Would that be the same wind that somehow blew you through the house to land in front of me?
Could be. Hurricane force. It is New Orleans, after all. It happens.
Nick gave Acheron a droll stare. No offense, I ain't Dorothy, and I didn't see no house land on a woman in striped socks. But if you believe all that, I have a house on a hill in the bayou to sell you. By the way, how do you know about Bubba and Mark? Ash got really quiet. Kyrian's face was completely stoic. What? Nick prompted. Ash cleared his throat before he answered.
I get bored sometimes. Infinite power. Local lunatics. There's just times when you really need to screw with someone's head and Mark is such an easy target. He wants to see. And a few well-placed shadows go such a long way in making him happy. And me, entertained.
Dude, you're so wrong. But Nick could almost understand that. And the zombies, you plant them too?
No. I'm as clueless about them as you are. In fact, I came over here to warn you.
He turned to Kirian.
About them. Believe it or not, I don't know how many are infected. But it seems to be mostly teenagers, and Nick's school is the nucleus for it. Ground zero, as it were.
Kirian looked as confused as Nick felt.
How can you not know with your powers? As hard as it is to believe, even for me, there are things I can't decipher. This would be one of them. Someone else is shielding them, probably whatever entity created them. And I don't know who that is, but the Bokor seems to be targeting school officials and nerdy students.
Nick stiffened. Why you look at me when you say the word nerdy? Ash flipped the tail of Nick's hideous Hawaiian shirt up.
Normal people don't dress like that.
Nick brushed his hand down the front of his shirt and gave a confident tilt of his head. Hey, now, I make this look good. And you're a fine one to talk. Why are you wearing those sunglasses inside when it's dark, nerd boy? Ash let fly a cocky grin.
Because no matter where I am, the sun is always shining on me.
Nick was completely unamused. Nick? He turned at Rosa's call. Yes, ma'am? Didn't you tell me you hadn't eaten? Yes, ma'am. Then you come in here and have something before you waste away. She paused as she entered the doorway of the kitchen and saw Ash. Acheron, when did you get here? Ash indicated the door over his shoulder with his thumb.
I came in the front door a few minutes ago.
Rosa's brow was creased with a stern frown. Strange. I didn't hear the bell.
Ash smiled. You know me, Rosa. Silent like a ghost.
A chill went down Nick's spine at what Rosa was saying, and about her lack of memory where Ash was concerned. He should probably be running for the door, but there was something about Acheron he actually liked. And while the guy looked like he could sweep the floor with Rambo, Nick sensed a kinship with him. Almost like they were long-lost brothers. It was so strange, and yet...
Stay away from him. Ash is evil to the bones. He will destroy you.
Nick shook his head at the deep voice that echoed in his ears. For a second, he felt like he was losing his mind.
Are you coming, Nick?
Rosa asked.
Yes, ma'am.
His stock answer for most women, since his mom really didn't like the word no. Dutifully, he made his way to Rosa and to the food he was starving for. Acheron watched as Nick made his way to the kitchen. He didn't know why, but his gut told him that Nick was somehow key to what was going on. It was like a presence was here, one he couldn't see, hear, or touch. He could only feel it like a hidden shadow. Malevolent and cold, it sent a shiver down his spine. It was pure hatred. But he couldn't tell who it was directed at. Him or Nick? Kirian lowered his tone so that neither Rosa nor Nick would hear him.
What aren't you saying? Ever have one of those feelings you can't shake?
Every damn night. Ash gave a short laugh.
Still planning to set Nick up as your squire?
He's not old enough yet, but when he is, that's my plan. Why? Is there something about him I should know? Ash felt the tattoo on his biceps shift down toward his elbow. The burning sensation was Simi's way of letting him know she was getting restless and wanted to come off his body and take human form. Or maybe she just had indigestion from eating the zombies so fast. Rubbing his hand over his demon, he stopped her for the moment.
He seems like a good kid.
But there's something about him not quite right.
if only he could put his finger on it. Not wanting to worry Kyrian when there was no reason to, he shrugged.
I have nothing to add. Other than don't let the zombies eat you while you're on patrol tonight. Be a damn waste of a good Dark Hunter.
Kyrian flexed his foot so that one of the knives shot out from the toe of his boot.
I think I can take them.
Ash wasn't so sure about that. Kyrian always had a hard time harming anyone under the age of consent. Not that he was cold-blooded himself. Seemi was another matter. She'd eaten the zombies in the kitchen before he'd had a chance to corral her. It was why he'd blinded Nick and Rosa. His little demon had a mind of her own, and when she smelled non-human delicacies, which she claimed weren't on her banned list, there was no stopping her. Soon he'd have to let her loose again, or she was going to crawl all over his body until she had him doing St. Vitus's dance.
The sun's setting. You want me to take Nick home for you?
Kyrian nodded. Thanks. While you do that, I'll rendezvous with Talon in the quarter and see if we can get a handle on this zombie outbreak.
Good luck.
Back at you. Kyrian headed for the door that led to his garage. Ash waited until he was sure Kyrian was gone before he went to the kitchen. He paused to watch Nick joking with Rosa. There was something extremely charismatic about Nick, like an aura that warmed people and made them want to listen to him. Some would call it glamour, a power certain creatures were born with while others learned it later in life. It was more than charm, more than a good personality. Ash had a similar ability, only it pulled people toward him for an entirely different reason, one that kept him on guard against people constantly, lest they lose control of themselves. Funny thing was, Nick seemed immune to that, too. And for that, Ash was extremely grateful. Very few people didn't react to the curse his aunt had given him at birth. In fact, he could count on one hand the number of people over the centuries who'd been immune.
There's something not right about this kid. You're being paranoid.
Was he?
You were human once, too, with no knowledge of your true birth or destiny. Another curse given to him by his family.
Until his 21st birthday, he'd had no idea that he was a god. No idea that his real mother had been the Atlantean goddess of destruction. And when his powers had been unleashed, it had almost destroyed the entire world and had driven mankind back into the Stone Age. What if that innocent kid eating gumbo was a creature like him?
You are being stupid.
Or was he? When Ash had been human, not even other gods had been able to detect his real nature. Artemis herself had stood right beside him and proclaimed him human. He narrowed his gaze on the boy. The zombies